Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Primetime with Isaac and Sook.
12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat?
Isaac Robb.
Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. We need more dogs.
Jason Sukanik.
Try to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there.
This is Primetime on the Fan Sports Network.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Be a dog.
105.1 and 1080.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
We need more dogs.
The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It is your Sports Bros here. I am Isaac. Hello. And there's Jason right over there.
Right here.
They call him Big Sook. Hey, Ryan Buckley here too.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. What?
Someone asked a good question on the... What are we calling it now?
Just the text line.
Yeah. Fan text line. Yeah. Insert sponsor here. Mm-hmm. Could be yours.
Could be.
Yeah, you gave Roto-Rooter a run at it last week with Rivalry Week.
Yeah. Well, listen, they sponsored Rivalry Week, so. Yeah.
By a Woda-Wooda.
See, I can't say it.
No, Rivalry Week by a Woda-Wooda.
Oregon Penn State Week, not sponsored. Mm-hmm. So, you know, could be you.
Yeah.
They ask, why is Oregon Penn State the same time as Alabama Georgia at 4:30?
What do you mean?
Well, they're playing it at the same time.
Yeah. Well,
why?
Two different networks are taking that as their
competing windows.
Competing windows. I mean, it's just.
Well, they usually space out the best games of the week, don't they?
No, because you get, I mean, Fox and ESPN, they're both going to pick.
They do their top pick and their top spots, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't one of them? I thought one of them would look at, like, what games are on other networks and then move them accordingly. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
NBC, obviously. NBC has one contract, ESPN has the other, and so when you're picking games, I mean...
Well, I know, I'm just saying, like, if you're whoever picks second...
Do you think the Ryder Cup impacts it? Is it because one of those networks has Ryder Cup earlier in the day,
and
they have to wait on football?
That's interesting, I don't know. What I assume Oregon Penn State is ABC?
It's NBC.
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 Okay, yeah, maybe so. Maybe the Ryder Cup is on it.
So everything is kind of spaced out. I mean, a little bit. So you got Ryder Cup. The CBS is Ohio State, Washington.
But that's late. Is that later game?
No, that's
12:30. Oh, it's 12:30. Okay.
That's 12:30.
I haven't looked at the schedule yet.
And then we get into the afternoon slate. So the 4:30 game on ABC is Alabama, Georgia. And then...
It's so weird to me that the SEC is on ABC now.
I know. It's so strange, right?
And then what's CBS have?
Well, CBS has... Fox, CBS has the Big Ten. It's flipped.
Yeah, so part of it may be that the Ryder Cup is on NBC from 4 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday.
4 a.m.? What?
It's a 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., but that's Eastern time. So 4 a.m. coverage on the West Coast for us here to 3 p.m., and then they'll go into, like, football coverage going into
that,
the game.
You know, that might be it, because I would think that if you're... You said the Big Ten is on CBS, right?
Yeah, that game is on CBS.
Yeah, so I would think if you're CBS, you wouldn't want it to go up against the ABC game at 4:30.
No,
you would
not.
Move it to 12:30, but that's probably why they didn't, because they have the Ryder Cup, too.
Oh, there you go.
So that possibly answers that man's question?
Maybe.
So every time slot is going to have, this week is going to have two games, because that early slot, which you mentioned, Ohio State and Washington, also, I believe...
Well, that's 12:30. What's the early? What's the nooner?
The big nooner is... That'll be Notre Dame, Arkansas.
Okay.
Oh, no. I stand corrected.
Dude, that guy just got drilled in the face.
USC, Illinois is the big nooner on Fox. So in the morning, 9 a.m., you get USC and Illinois and Notre Dame and Arkansas. Then at 12:30, you have Ohio State, Washington, and LSU Ole Miss.
Wow.
That's 4 versus 13. Also, Auburn and Texas A&M is at 12:30. And Indiana, Iowa. Then, when you get to the 4:30 games, then we get Oregon and Penn State and Alabama and Georgia.
What a weekend. It's amazing.
This is a big week.
I just have to report to you, I'm watching Tigers Guardians because it's a big game. Tarik Skubal just hit a dude with a fastball square in the nose.
Ooh.
I mean square in the nose.
Well, they just showed a lady who looks very concerned.
Well, Skubal immediately turned and took his hat off and knelt. It's like, it's not good.
And they're not showing the batter, right?
No, he's just laying there.
Was he just not able to turn away?
Yeah, I think he was squaring.
Well, I turned around, and I've been watching now for 20, 30 seconds, and they're showing crowd reaction and Skubal, and they haven't
He got him right square. Like, you know how sometimes it's a glancing blow? Yeah. It hit him flush.
Yeah, they're bringing out the car.
And I'm not sure who the hitter is. Anyway, it's 2-1 Tigers. Okay, so we answered that question. Now the next question, before we get to our concerns, we're going to talk some Oregon Penn State here. What will they wear? What are you saying? They're dropping hints?
So they released a thing. Remember, this is a whiteout, right, at Penn State. So even though Penn State will be in blue, white pants, white helmet, blue jerseys, they're whiteout. The whole crowd will be white. And remember, when they went to when they went and played Wisconsin, when jump around hit in the fourth quarter, in between the third and fourth quarter, Oregon participated in it. They, on the sidelines, did the jump around, and Lanny's like, we're going to lean into it. So the fact that this is a whiteout, Penn State's been circling this the whole time. They talked about it. Kenyon Sadiq said that Dan Lanning told the team, the only reason this is a whiteout is because we're coming. Like, Lanning is already doing this isn't Penn State's whiteout. This whiteout is because of us. And they released, on Monday, Nike made mummy cleats. First time they've ever done it, and it's a little Oregon duck, but wrapped in mummy bandages.
Yeah,
and the cleats are white, but under LED lights. And guess what? Penn State has, and that they do different like kind of theatrics with them for the whiteout. Under LED lights, they glow green.
Okay,
they're glow in the dark mummy.
They're glow in the dark mummy cleats. And then Lanning, I guess at the press conference yesterday, was wearing a white Oregon Duck sweatshirt with kind of like this gold pattern. So everyone's kind of assuming that come Wednesday when they release it, they're not just doing mummy cleats. They're going to wear all white uniforms that glow green when they turn off when they turn on the LED lights.
That's pretty cool.
It's going to be a baller move.
That's smart.
You embrace the jump around.
Yes.
You know they're going to embrace the whiteout. Because when they originally announced this, I said, you just got to go stormtrooper. You got to go head 100%. To toe, all white, and just lean into it and be like, hey, if this is a whiteout, we're coming. But the whiteout that glows green under certain lighting conditions, that's about as a big of an FU as you can get. And that just screams at something that Lanning would do.
I love how he leans into those things. So they just showed the replay. And yes, it was David Fry of the Guardians, and he was squaring to bunt, and dude, he took it right in the nose. Although he got up, they put him on the cart and carted him off, but they did not show his face. His face was covered by a towel the whole time.
So he's
it didn't look good at all. But he's he's up and got on the cart and might have to have reconstructive surgery. Dude, have you ever seen a guy take one like that?
I have told the story a couple times. When I was a high school kid, I had a bunch of friends that played baseball, and people know who it is. They've actually texted into the program. There was a kid at Hudson's Bay that was a big time prospect. And I think he ended up getting drafted like in the second or third round, and he threw in the high 90s. And they were playing us, a bunch of scouts were there, and the dude was bringing heat, and they said he was a little jazzed up, and he had hit one or two of our batters. And people were kind of intimidated, and he hit our second baseman, Adam Hoff, in the face with like a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Mm-hmm. And they brought out the EMT, and I'll never forget the sound. It's, to this day, one of the reasons I'm terrified of getting hit with a baseball. It was absolutely sickening. And if you've ever seen something like that in person, you will never forget it. And it obliterated his face. A couple of his teeth, they weren't like, they were just shattered. They were gone. Like you couldn't, wasn't like they were knocked out. They were just disintegrated. It was awful.
Well, the guards have tied it up. It's 2-2 in honor of David Frank.
Yeah, I just saw it on, and Scooble's reaction is just, he knows. Yeah.
Oh, he definitely knows.
Yeah.
You just don't often see it where it's that square in the face. Like,
well, it's because he was squared to bunt.
Well, exactly, yeah. But it's just, yeah, it's alarming to watch.
Yep.
But it didn't look, you know? You know what I mean? It was fine. I think he's fine. You want to say he's fine? You know, I mean, you know? Yeah.
Jeez. Ugh.
I mean, I expected blood to be gushing everywhere and like him to be writhing around. He wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. Yeah. So
he's laid there for a while.
Like I said.
Anywho.
Okay.
I'm hoping tomorrow that we get the glow-in-the-dark Oregon unis. They will be, I guarantee at bare minimum, they are going to be all white. Because that's something that Lanning will do, and he is going to turn this into, this isn't their whiteout, this is our whiteout.
Now they, and I love it. By the way, I love that.
Fantastic.
They wore black last week, the Phil Knight thing.
Yeah, the shoe duck.
I mean, I would think that, well, let's put it this way. If I were in the room for the brainstorming of what are we going to wear at Penn State, mm-hmm. I would have said, well, let's do the all black thing, you know, because it's a whiteout.
Yeah, whiteout. Except they can't because Penn State wears blue.
Well, I know. So this is why I'm not in the room when they brainstorm these types of things.
Oh, that's why you're not in the room.
That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would be.
Naturally.
But I have bad ideas. So let's get to, all right. So I jotted down, just thinking about this game, I jotted down six things that could be concerning for Oregon at Penn State. Now, there just haven't been a lot of concerns for Oregon because they've played four cupcakes.
And so has Penn State, by the way.
But, well, they're three. Yeah, 3-0. Oh. But I'm talking more from Oregon's perspective. Like, you know, there's not a lot to nitpick right now, okay? No. But this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. So I attempted to lay down some concerns, and I don't know how many of these are a big deal to you, but okay. I'm going to throw them at you.
All right.
And you tell me how you feel about them.
Okay, I'll tell you. Are real concerns or like, eh.
Yeah. Or like, is this concerning? Is this not concerning?
Sure.
So we'll do that. Coming up next here on the show, this is Isaac and Suk on 105.1 The Fan. In honor of Oregon Penn State Week, I had the thought the other day, I was wondering if Jerry Sandusky was still alive. And I couldn't remember if he had died or not.
I thought he passed.
He did not.
I think he's just still in prison.
Yeah, right? He's in prison.
Yeah.
And he is 81 years old. And what's interesting about that is, and this will never happen, okay? So Jerry Sandusky is not getting out.
No.
But he could technically be a free man again. He got 30 to 60 years. Mm-hmm. His 30 year is 2042. He would be in his upper 90s.
So in theory, he could get
parole. In theory, he could, but they won't allow that. And he probably won't live that long. But I just wanted to point out that Jerry Sandusky is still alive.
Still alive.
And
rotting in prison.
Too bad.
Also, yeah, it really is too bad. Also, still married.
What?
Yeah, she stuck by him through that whole
thing. God. Even, man.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. That is wild.
But, you know, I mean, he's in prison, so, like...
You know, that happens a lot, though, like, murderers and this sort of stuff. Dude, all time, there's a bunch of times where the wife, she sticks by him.
So, does she think it didn't happen like they say it did, or does she just accept that it has and doesn't
care? When
she
was doing the, I remember, like, the Bob Costas interviews and stuff. Yeah, she denied that it happened. Remember, it happened at, like, even with, like, some of, like, the kids that were in their house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she denies that it ever happened.
Boy.
So I jotted down six concerns for Oregon.
Okay.
You tell me if they're
is
legit.
Is one of them that the Mets are down 5-1 already?
Oh, no, they're losing 5-1?
Yes.
They are.
God, who could have seen that coming?
We started out 1-0.
Are you just stunned?
But they're back.
Yeah, I hate you both, so go to hell.
True story.
Are the Reds still losing?
I turned that one off to watch this.
They were down 4-2.
Let's take a look.
Yeah. Okay.
Continue. Don't be distracted by my pathetic Mets.
Yeah, you've distracted me already.
Don't do it.
But I'm back. Here we go. Okay, here's my focus.
Still 4-2.
My award-winning focus.
Yes.
Okay, the first one is this. Dan Lanning, 39-6 at Oregon.
Yes.
How many true top 25 road wins does he have?
I'm guessing not many. Maybe one.
He has one. Can you name it? True. Okay, so let me define true for those listening in radio land.
Mm-hmm.
True road wins, true top 25 road win means you're playing a top 25 team
at their home stadium, not neutral site, not bowl game.
It'll be something weird like UCLA or USC or something.
It was that Utah game.
Utah.
In late October 2023, they went in there. It was a good win. Yeah. Utah was ranked 13th, and they beat him 35-6.
Okay.
That's his only true top 25 road win.
Yeah.
The only two other true top 25 road games were losses. One was the Oregon State comeback in 2022.
Sure.
They were ranked that year.
Georgia, and, maybe?
Well, no, Washington in 2023.
Yeah.
Georgia, again, neutral site.
Neutral site.
So, does that concern you?
No, it doesn't concern me. I don't. One, he hasn't been the coach that long. I don't think that winning on the road against top 25 teams is difficult. I mean, we've done this before. When you look through, even good coaches on the road against top 25 teams, it's usually not like an 80% win percentage, right?
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, would this be concerning for this particular game? He's 1-2. In true top 25. I mean, I know that he's going to have a lower winning percentage in these games, most likely, but he's 1-2 so far, and this is a different animal than any of those other three.
I'll tell you that Penn State on the road is a challenge. The fact that he is 1-2 to me has zero bearing on this game. The concern is that it's Penn State on the road, and any team, whether you're, if you're playing a top 10, because this isn't even a top 25, if you're playing a top 10 team on the road, that is concern. But the overall record and the fact that there's been three, I take absolutely no, just that is such a small sample size that I put no bearing in it.
Well, whatsoever. I think the idea is that the small sample size is the problem. Like he just hasn't had many of these experiences. He hasn't taken teams into
opportunities.
See, I'm more concerned with in these big games, the defense almost has, the defense doesn't show up. That is my much bigger concern, is that when they've played the better teams, the games that they've lost, they don't lose games. They're not losing games like, you know, what would you say, like 24-17. They're losing games like 38-34. Like, and so that's my thing, is the defense has to show up in these games. Because you mentioned the road games, right? Washington was one, and what was the other one that they lost?
Oregon State.
Again, it's a matter of the defense has to show up. That's a bigger concern than me than the idea of that being a road game.
So the Matrix has Oregon's defense. Now, this was before the Oregon State game.
Yeah.
Because I don't have his latest.
Yeah.
But he had, so this is Dave Bartu of the Matrix. So far, inefficiencies, offense, Portland, Penn State, 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's defense, 63rd.
Yeah.
Penn State defense, 3rd. Oregon's offense, 3rd.
Yeah.
So one of these things is not like the other, at least so far with the Matrix. And again, that's only through 3 weeks, not four. And he had Oregon 63rd.
And that, again, that goes back to my deeper concern is Tosh Lapoy, the defense has been, if there is an Achilles heel for this team, it has been that in these big games. And so far they just haven't been tested because they haven't played anyone with any sort of ability to challenge them. But we did see Northwestern force them to out of their base defense and have to put an extra linebacker in. We saw Oregon State have one drive where they ran the ball effectively. Oklahoma State and Montana State offered no threat whatsoever. And I look at a young secondary that's really, really talented, but young and has not been tested, although there have been some coverage breakdowns, and a defensive line to me that is my biggest concern. If I had to circle one thing, I'm not certain that this defensive front is great against the run. And I think when Penn State watched Northwestern and that Oregon State series, I think Penn State believes that they can run it on Oregon, and they're going to run them out of the 4-2-5, have to bring an extra backer in, and then that puts more pressure on that secondary. My biggest concern, this Oregon D-line versus the Penn State offensive line.
Concern number two, experience. Portland, why do I keep saying that? Penn State returned 14 starters from a team that went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oregon returned 5. Penn State's returning starters were tied for the 5th most in Power 4, whereas Oregon, there were only 5 Power 4 teams that returned fewer.
Yeah.
Experience. They are older.
Yeah.
Oregon is younger. How big of a factor is that to you?
not overly concerned because some of the guys that they brought in have played a lot of football. The three transfers coming in on their own line have all played a ton of football. Yes, they haven't played in this environment, but it's not all freshmen. Although the secondary is loaded with freshmen, and DeCorian Moore is a freshman, and he's one of your big playmakers. So would I like this to be a little more of a veteran presence at some spots? Sure. Is it a concern? Small one. I don't think it's
more so than the road.
Yes.
True road wins.
Yes.
Okay. Number three. Now the word is that Will Stein's name is hot.
Yeah.
In the agent / search firm circles.
Yes.
Could Will Stein's eye be off the ball?
This is one that I have never liked, and it always worries me. And I don't know how real that is. I don't like. That always concerns me.
So it is a concern.
I think it is.
So Oklahoma State fired their coach today. Virginia Tech and UCLA are on the hunt.
Yeah.
You also have Arkansas, Florida, Virginia, who could have openings soon.
Yeah.
Will Stein's name is a hot name out there.
Yes.
To be fair, so is Kotelnicki, the Penn State offensive coordinator.
All those guys.
So his eye could be off the ball, too. I don't know. I think this, we've talked about this before. I feel like this, particularly when it comes to head coaches, but also coordinators, this is one of the bigger factors in college football that we really can't quantify. We have no idea, but it is definitely a thing.
Yes.
And I just wonder this early in the season, is Will Stein, I mean, I'm sure his agent's trying to shield him from all that.
And they are, and all that. I just think in at this level, you have to have every little I dotted and T crossed. And I've always just one of those guys that I don't like when my guy is whispered around, but that just comes with the territory. And when you have a successful program, your guys are going to get talked about. So,
but
that may be a concern that I have, and I don't know. I don't have any way of quantifying if that is an actual real factor in any of these games.
Well, I think the thing that concerns me about that is, one, Will Stein's name is very hot.
Yes.
But two, you've already got a bunch of openings, and so you know that there's some jockeying for position. If he's one of the top names, these things may be getting further down the road.
It's possible.
Because you want to beat the other schools to a guy than we think. And that means Will Stein's having conversations with his wife. He's having conversations with, you know?
Sure.
Like, well, it's like, a...
We go back to the Oregon State, when Jonathan Smith left, we know that, and you know, maybe that was obviously, you know, like week eight or something, but like that, to me, was a real factor in that season.
Oh, yeah. Happened with Cristobal, too.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so we're getting warmer with concerns here.
Sure.
So I have 4 more.
Okay.
I said I had 6. I actually have 7.
Okay.
So we'll get to those next, talking a little Oregon, Penn State. But first, here's Buck with Sports Center.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we've got a little Oregon-Penn State hour going here, digging into this game. I've presented 3 what could be concerns for Oregon at Penn State. Souk did not like one of them, lukewarm on another, and the third was a concern. The first one was Dan Lanning, 1-2 at Oregon in true top 25 road games. So they haven't had many games, but he's only won one of them, and it was at Utah. This, a little different. Top 5 team here, and Happy Valley was like 100, what is it, how many people are in
100,000,
this?
100,000 plus, like 101, something like that.
2 was experience. Penn State is the more experienced team. That didn't seem to bother you too much, but 3, Will Stein, could his eye be off the ball? That is always a thing to Souk. Okay, so here's the next one. Concern or not a concern, Dante Moore's handling of fire. So you've got a kid here who has 13 starts. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller has 32.
Yeah.
Moore, I went back and looked at Dante Moore's biggest true top 25 road games as a starter. Now, granted, he was at UCLA. That was an 8-win team when he was the starter there. So they weren't bad, but he was new. It was his first year as a starter. They lost both of those games. He only scored 7 points at Utah, and they dropped 24 at Oregon State, but lost. His numbers are not good in those two games. 2 touchdowns, 4 picks. Only 19 of 68. But again, different quarterback, different system.
Looks completely different.
So Dante Moore's handling of fire. I just go back to the playoff game and Jim Knowles and the way they just had Gabriel running for his life.
Yeah.
How does Dante Moore handle that if Knowles can get that kind of pressure?
Absolutely, it's a concern. I think, and you could say this almost across the board, when you don't know, there's a lot of groups that just haven't faced fire. I mentioned the secondary. Big concern because they have not played in these sorts of games. And Dante Moore has not played in this sort of game. Dante Moore did not play meaningful snaps at UCLA. I'm sorry. That thing was a disaster. It was 4 or 5 games and it was done. And now he sat at Oregon and the first 4 games have been spoon-fed to him. And he's looked amazing. Right, he does exactly what you're supposed to do against inferior competition, but he has not faced pressure. He has not been forced out of the pocket. Yeah, I mean he had a couple overthrows. He's had the one interception at Northwestern, but I mean essentially he has been as good as you could conceivably want. But what we don't know about Dante Moore is, like you said, what happens when he gets heated up? What happens when there's pressure in his lap? What happens when they have to come from behind on the road? What happens now when you can't audible at the line because there's 100,000 people? So 100% of these, it's not even close. That is by far the biggest concern, is this will be his first true in the fire against a team that is comparable to what you have and in a hostile environment. Absolutely is a concern.
So that goes hand in hand with the next one. This is the same defensive coordinator who stuffed your offense in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
Concern?
Yes.
Not a concern.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a concern. And it's, I mean,
Jimmy Knowles.
And again, it's the first team that physically might be able to do something against you. Like, everyone knows when you're sitting there in Oregon and you watch your team play. I use an example of this. I was doing my little West Coast Bias, which is just my football little podcast. And I brought up an example of, let's say I'm a center, right? And I have to, because I'm just living in my world of offensive line, I have to reach a 3 technique. Outside zone, so I'm a center, and I have to get all the way to a defensive tackle that's playing on the shoulder of my guard. It's a tough block for a center to make. And for the first 4 weeks, we're running this outside zone, and I make that block. Right. All I need is a little chip from my left guard and I can scoop that 3 and we're off to the races and we're running. I can watch film on that for 3 or 4 straight weeks, knowing that that's a tough block, and I can have confidence. I'm like, yeah, I can make that block and we're all watching film. But all of a sudden now I'm playing a defensive tackle and I know that's a tough block. And I'm like, I think I can make it, but I don't know because that's a different player now that I'm facing. So there is always that concern of, this is the first time that someone physically can do something to make me uncomfortable. And the fact that you do have a very, very good defensive coordinator over there that last year, like you said, put you in chains. Absolutely, that should be a concern.
Now, he didn't the first time, though.
No, he did not.
But he adjusted for the second time. And, you know, that's where I think I go back to experience, what you're saying. Like, I do think the experience factor matters. And again, it's not like they're all freshmen, like you said, but you having been in these types of games and being an being made uncomfortable like that, I think it's important to have been through a few of those. And if this is your first time, you know, I just think you're better equipped to handle it if you've been through it.
Then the nice thing for Oregon is both of these teams haven't been tested this year at all. They've all been on cruise control. And I will say this, having watched good hunks of all 3 Penn State games, Penn State has played patsies and Penn State has not looked great against those. Every one of those games, there has been pushback. Oregon has had no pushback. And I don't know if this is Penn State just literally playing as vanilla and as bland as humanly possible, and they knew what they had, and they're going to hold everything for Oregon. But I'm telling you, especially like on third downs and even in some fourth down situations, Penn State has not looked particularly sharp all year in their 3 games. And Oregon has. So at least from that just this year, Oregon has looked like the better team than Penn State, both against inferior competition.
And then two others, concern or not a concern, the revenge factor.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't think there's anything to that. I mean, both of these teams know what's at stake. Both of these teams know that they're national title type teams. And I just, you know, and neither one of these ends the season if they lose it. I'm not concerned at all about Penn State being super fired up. I mean, both squads, after a month straight of patsies, dude, both of these teams are going to be chomping at the bit and frothing for this one. And Lanning has done a great job of leaning into these moments and not, you know, doing the, oh, it's just another game. He goes, no, he will have his team sky high for this, just like James Franklin will.
Okay, and then the last one is Penn State is coming off a bye. Concern or not a concern?
I'd rather Penn State not be. I mean, early in the season, I don't think the rest is as important, but I do think an extra week of prep, an extra week of seeing Oregon on film, I think, you know, I think Lanny would probably say the same thing. I think you would rather be coming off a bye if you're Penn State. And I don't mean to disparage Northwestern or Oregon State. Something tells me that Oregon has been working behind the scenes on Penn State for a while.
Yeah.
I don't think everything was used to prep Northwestern and Oregon State.
I don't know. I have a lot of respect for both coordinators at Penn State, and I just think that's such a – I think it's an advantage getting a week to just sit and wait for – and watch you and wait for you.
Yep.
But you're right, Oregon, I mean, I'm sure they've been behind the scenes getting ready for Penn State as well.
My – again, I go back to it. If I had to go with my concerns, I'll go with my just top three off the top of my head. Defense in big games has been a problem at Oregon. Again, I don't think Dan Lanning has lost a game at Oregon when they have scored less than 32 points. Like, their defense just has not shown up in big games. That's my number one concern. Defensive line being number two, and a young, unproven secondary in big moments when there has been some breakdowns. As you can tell, I think their offense is going to be fine. Most of my concern lies on the defensive side of the football.
Or it could all come back to the fact that James Franklin is 4-20 against the top 10.
Bingo.
And he doesn't win these games.
No,
and
he does not.
He just really doesn't.
No.
And I think it's even worse against top 5. And I'm not sure. Where's Oregon ranked this week? Are they 6?
I think 6.
Okay, so this wouldn't apply, but he's 1-15 against the AP top 5. Mm.
And I'm telling you.
I mean, nobody expects Penn State to win.
No.
And yet they're favored.
Yep. And I said it after 2 weeks, and I know Oregon has come back to the pack a little bit the last 2 weeks where they look great. They just don't look like they did the first 2 weeks. I said it after week two. Oregon will beat Penn State. Watching these two teams, Oregon is better than Penn State. I really do feel that. I just have – every time I've watched Penn State, I get left wanting more, and they just don't look that sharp. So I think Oregon goes in, and I think Oregon nicks them.
Primetime follow-up is coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
And
app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick baseball update. The Guardians have stormed back to take the lead over the Tigers 5-2.
That would put them in a tie, right?
Yep. They'd be tied.
You think Skubal got shook up after that hit-by-pitch?
He did throw a wild pitch that allowed a run to score after the hit-by-pitch. He hit David Fry right in the face. But he only gave up one run. It was the bullpen kind of got a little leaky. But the Mets are losing.
Yeah, 6-1. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. That's,
well, we're sports guys. We have to give sports updates.
Things going great.
And the Reds who are tied with the Mets in the wild card, they are losing to the Pirates 4-2 in the eighth.
Yes.
So
at least
the Mariners play later.
Diamondbacks and Giants, which they're still kind of in that hunt too. They both play later as well. So
primetime follow up. A listener asks, we were talking about the Ravens field goal last night that we couldn't really tell if it was good or not, but they called it good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But it looked like he missed it, but you can't really review it because it went over the goalpost.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's not a reviewable thing.
Yeah, they don't allow that. So what if one of our listeners texts in and asks, what if the field goal post added a top crossbar? So you now have a box for the kicker to kick it into.
Why would that?
A limitation of the height?
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have a box.
It seems like the dumbest idea I've ever heard of.
You know what, though? Now the field goals that are closer in, your trajectory matters a
That's
lot
right.
more. And those easy chip shot 27-yarders, not so easy
It would
anymore.
Make it a lot harder for kickers.
That's literally the dumbest idea I've heard.
But, I mean, if you don't want to make it harder for kickers, I'd like to make it harder on kickers.
I don't.
I think that'd be great.
I actually think it's kind of fun now that we have these long kicks.
Well, I think it's fun we have more blocks, too.
Yeah.
Well, and also...
It's becoming such a weapon now that teams are like, dude, we have to start doing this. Like, it's, you know, if you're going to be making kicks from, and you know, we've had twice so far in the season where teams have not even tried. They're like, hey, 60 plus, we're good here. And by the way, the Cowboys say that they're fine lining up from 70.
Yep.
And I think that's great. I like it.
Well,
and
to
so
Isaac's
now
point, if you make it harder on the kickers, doesn't it incentivize the offenses to stay out on the field and give you more real football?
I mean, we already have, like, no one punts anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's going for it now. I mean, I think we already have the most incentivized, more real football is that you could possibly have. I mean, I just think the game's in a good spot right now. Yeah, there's some bad offenses, but there always will be because it's really hard to play quarterback in this league.
Or, you know, you could put the crossbar way up. The top crossbar, you could put it way up high.
Why? Again, this makes no sense. Why do you want a top crossbar?
Well, because then it has to go through the box. Then there's no way that it
you
could
want
be...
like a vertical soccer goal just up there. Just
then
kick it into the...
Well, no, this was the listener saying if you had a top crossbar, then it eliminates this gray area of a ball going over the goalpost.
Right, you have a
and
box.
Not knowing. You have to hit it in the box. So it could clank off the top crossbar and most likely wouldn't go in, but it could.
Or
you know,
yeah, it could go bar down. Like
exactly.
Hockey, you know?
Or it could hit the side and then hit the top and then it's...
Quadruple doink?
Yeah, like, but you can review all of that. But if you put the top crossbar way up high, now it doesn't really affect the kicker.
We're all dumber for this. This is like when we like put alligators in center field in a Major League Baseball stadium.
Same I love that idea. What are you talking about?
Makes or like it more interesting.
When we spent 20 minutes deciding what happened if two people caught a ball at once.
Well,
again,
that
great
question. That question
it's
was
not because it won't come up.
but it could.
It won't. But
no,
it could.
Hasn't it?
Someone said, now, while we're at it, why not just stick an extra pole straight up the middle? Hit that with a dong and get, you know.
Ooh. Yes, you hit the left side, you get 4 points. You hit the right side, you get 3.
Now we're talking.
What if you just like pick a fan of the game and you just swing them in front of it like a pendulum and you have to not, they can block the field goal in midair if it lines up right. The kicker has to avoid the obstacle.
It turns into some sort of double dare-esque.
Oh my God, I love that.
They're in like a harness swinging back and forth and they're trying.
With some drunk ass bro from the stands. Yeah. Oh yes. God, that's the best idea I've heard all week.
Should we go throw hands in the 300 section later?
Now we're cooking with gas.
God, that's great.
Welcome to the world of the XFL. It's not the XFL anymore. It's with the UFL, right? That horse crap thing.
They tried to bring the XFL back too.
Well, they brought the XFL back, and then it merged with the other thing. And I think it's now the UFL.
Are any of those leagues still back?
The one is because Colin won't shut up about it, like because it's on Fox or whatever, and then we have to pretend that anyone cares about it. I think it's called the UFL, I believe.
Well, I'm all for it. I think let's spice it up a little bit.
Any field goal within 20 yards has to be kicked by a random fan.
See,
well,
chip
come
shot. Got to bring someone.
Oh, come
in. Bring someone in from the stands.
Now you're just being silly.
Or well, how about this? Not a fan, but you have to pick anybody on your team not designated a kicker. You've got to find somebody else to do it on the shorties.
Make the quarterbacks kick.
Sure.
Someone this week's kicker was hurt, and they went for it on everyone now because they had like the punter, and they didn't feel they could do it. Or that's Oregon State. you know, the first couple of weeks, Oregon State's like, nope, going for two. No field goals here. But that's because they could snap.
Top crossbar ideas from a damn communist soccer fan who lives in their parents' basement and drinks double IPAs. y'all are crazy.
Yeah, the UFL season did conclude in June. No word yet whether they're coming back for 2026.
Who won?
That would be the DC Defenders. They beat the Michigan Panthers.
The Defenders of the Metropolitis. Arr.
Wow.
I thought it was the Battlehawks.
The Battlehawks or St. Louis is the Battlehawks.
The St. Louis Battlehawks. All you need to know about that league is there's a team called the Battlehawks. Stop it.
Are you ready for the rapture?
Are we getting raptured now?
Yeah. I saw a lot about that on social media today, but I didn't know why.
It's a thing.
I don't think I'm going to, like, if the rapture happens, I don't think I'm getting pulled up.
Well, why would you? Why would you expect to get pulled up?
I'm not.
You're a heathen.
That's my point. I don't want the rapture.
You said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think. Yeah, no, you're not. You're down here with me, dude.
So that's why Russ isn't going to be starting week four.
Rapture, yeah.
Oh,
he's getting pulled up.
I saw that, and I didn't understand what was going on. So now the rapture's coming.
We'll
By the way,
that.
The Mets comeback is on. We're back.
They're back.
6-3.
We're back!
Wow. We will get to that next Club Hour on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.